Going to continue talking about love. I invite you to grab your outlines that are in the bulletins. It's all about love. It's really true. We're going to look at some practical application of that. Now, our text from Romans is really quite challenging. Paul writes to encourage people to live in their calling, but his words are overwhelming to us. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another, be fervent in spirit. You know, all in all, there's like 30 little commands in this section. Listening to his words, it's like kind of exhausting, actually, and it makes me feel a bit unworthy. You know, it's actually hard to imagine how the Holy Spirit could work all of these things in me. In others, you know, it's. But this is God's desire. The thought is, where do you start? Let's say we decide for the next month, I'm going to do one a day. And so tomorrow, on Monday, I decide that I am going to let love be genuine. So then I work on it that day and pass somebody in the hallway, and rather than just say, hey, hi, how you doing? This time it's different. I stop, listen, respond, and go a little deeper. You know, but then the next day I'll try the next one, and it'll be abhor evil. It'll be a whole month. By the end of the month, I would have forgotten what I did at the beginning of the month, and I would have to start all over again. Now, this morning we're going to slim down these 30 into two overarching ideas: self-sacrificing love and overcoming evil with love. Let's look at it from those two perspectives. Now, Paul tells us self-sacrificial love is the type of love. This is what he's kind of telling us. It's genuine, it's sincere. It's love that cares for others' needs. It doesn't focus on self. It doesn't demand. It actually looks to serve. One thing he says, which is interesting in that, he says that it hates evil. Isn't that odd? Do you find that odd that love should hate something? Why? How can love hate? It just doesn't seem right. You know, and what helped me understand this, I think, in my life is a lot of my career has not been in the States, but we were in Africa, and one place we lived over there was, they used to have apartheid there. And that's pretty brutal. They were really mean to the people. And I worked with people who lived under that who were colored and black. And it was amazing to see the love that they had. You know, it was just absolutely amazing. And what I asked them once about it, and they said, you know, the leaders of the country, when they came into power in South Africa and in Namibia, they decided that specifically, and they preached this too, that we are not going to pay anybody back. Isn't that amazing? They hated what had been done and the ideas that had been brought on them, but they loved the people. That's what you got to do. That is really hard. Love hates something. Love hates evil. Why does it hate evil? Because it hurts people. God loves people. And bad things hurt people. Evil is not good. It hurts people. And God is never happy about that. So love really hates. But it loves people. That's where it's really hard to divide the line. Because you have to hate the sin and despise it. But you got to love the people. That's a tough one. And you know, it's family type love, but it's deeper than any family bonds. It's deeper than any genetic connection or any connection of race or creed or anything like that. It's far more engulfing. You know, we see some of this. I don't know if you've been following the news from Houston. You guys been reading up some of the people that are helping down there? Those of us who are part of Lutheran Early Response Team, LERT, just received an activation. And those of us who have been trained in that are FEMA trained to go down there. And some of us will be going down to Houston, I'm sure, to help out. But there's a guy that I looked up. Maybe you heard of this guy. He's actually called the Houston Hero. His name is Abe Miner. And Abe, spending his time rescuing people, he started because his wife sent him out to rescue her friend's family, which included four kids, and one of them was an infant. And as he was going, he heard others call out for help. And he saw them from his boat, and he couldn't ignore their pleas, so he told them he would come back to help. And he ended up rescuing 20 families as of Tuesday. And he goes back to search for more. So, you know, this kind of love that Paul is talking about looks for opportunities to express itself just like this. But the love that Paul is talking about is not the kind that needs a tragedy to be moved. It's different type than that. Actually, Paul's saying we measure our relationship with God based on this. I saw a story that I wanted to share with you. It was about a church. And I think that for us as a church, when I see the things we do, I mean, we're not perfect. No church is perfect. But, you know, I do see a lot of love. And I see that. And I just want to encourage you more to do that. It really is what makes a difference. Being loving and kind is just like a magnet. And it's the most beautiful thing. And there was this guy. His name is Scott Thuma. Scott's a professor of sociology at East Coast Seminary. There's a church called Yodo Full Gospel Fellowship. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's the largest church in the world. It's got like 800,000 some members. I mean, I think it's humongous. Now, it's not that you have to be a big church or anything like that. That's not the point. The thing is he gets out of the cab, and the minute he gets out of the cab, three people greet him. Three people greet him. One becomes his personal guide, takes him into the church, sits down with him in the church, shows him how to use the headphones. When the church service is done, walks him out to the bookstore in the church, offers to buy gifts for his children, and then offers to take him out to lunch. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. You know, and the thing that really struck me about that is it's not just one person doing that. To pull something like that off, you have a gifted administrator, you have someone that just loves people off the chart, put that person out front, and you got all this stuff going on in the background. What? Love. You have real love actually working where people just all get on board and they all say, you know, this really does make a difference. What can I do? You know, it's amazing. And I think Paul knows it. Jesus knows this too, of course. He's God. And he shared with us a most powerful verse. It says, "By this, all men, everybody, will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the exact same thing in this section. But it's difficult for us because, you know, for me, when I think of love, you know, sometimes we're told to love ourselves first, and that's important. But if you just love yourself first, when is it going to extend from you? And when I think of love, oftentimes I think of love as an emotion. And that complicates what Paul is trying to say here. Because if I think of love as an emotion, then I can get to the point where, you know, I just don't feel the love for them anymore. It's dried up. You know, and when it gets like that, it wears out, and then I can find it a struggle to show love. Let me give you a very practical question to think about. One question that, and you can write it down or you can just keep it in your mind, but what might you be willing to lend or give to somebody? What might you be willing to lend or give to somebody? What would it be? Now, we have a rummage sale coming up. So, I mean, you thinking a chair? Maybe some clothing? Maybe you got a rototiller laying around? Or a spray paint? I mean, all sorts of stuff, right? What came to mind? What were you thinking of? How many thought of material things? How many thought of material things come to mind? How many thought of non-material things? How many thought of something that didn't have anything to do with any material good whatsoever? You know, when Jesus was on this planet in the flesh, he didn't have much of anything to give away, but he touched a lot of people. And one of his disciples, John, who was the closest to him, they were just the closest of friends, he summed up actually how Jesus did it. He starts off his first epistle sharing that with us. Not his gospel, but his first epistle. He starts off in the very first verse saying this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." You know, we oftentimes will think of material things as that which really moves and helps people. But as John learned from Jesus, it's really not the material things that are that important. People are more blessed by the time that we spend with them. People are more blessed when our ears listen to what they are saying. When our eyes and our words and our senses connect with them. It moves and it touches people. And it draws a connection. I would ask you this week to think about something. I'd ask you to do this. I would ask you to share a merciful act of love with someone. Share a merciful act of love with someone, and preferably with someone who doesn't deserve it. And you just do that and just put yourself in that position. I really believe that one of the scariest things in the world is showing love to others, because it can go unappreciated, unnoticed, and it can be misused. The cross of Christ is a pretty terrifying thing. Jesus Christ put himself out on the limb for people that despised him, and was willing to take that merciful act and just give. And the return that came back in that was just transformational. It's mercy. It's all about mercy. That's what Paul's talking about here. He started off the chapter talking about mercy. He says, "By the mercies of God I appeal to you." That's how he began this chapter. And now he's just fleshing that out for us. He's saying it's about love. And he lists all these things and he gives all these encouragements for us, because it works. It's powerful. This is our God. This is what our God does. And as I was saying a couple Sundays ago, there's a couple things that God can do that you can't. He can create something out of nothing. If you're dealing with a relationship, or if you're dealing with something that looks like nothing, if you're trying to relate to somebody that wants to have nothing to do with you, and you're not going to get anything back, zero, nil, God can work in those situations. He's a master at it. I have to remind myself of that. If you're dealing with a dead situation, a dead relationship, a dead career, a dead studies, whatever it is, God can speak life into that. He's the God of resurrection. Very powerful God. And He calls us in love to trust Him in that way. This is our God. This is our amazing God. This is what Paul is sharing. It amazes him how this love has touched him, how it has touched the world, and how Christ, in infinite wisdom of God, knew that love really works. And I would encourage you just to take that out. I know that it's hard. I know it's difficult, that it's a challenge. But let God strengthen you. Let Him inspire you to see through His eyes. It's a wonderful thing and a blessed thing. May God open up our hearts and minds and strengthen them in this wonderful, glorious grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.